Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Truth Ministries. This is David Clark coming to you live. I'm glad to be back with you again this week. I hope that you're up getting ready for church. I say that every week, but I mean it every week. I hope you're up getting ready to go to the house of God today, find you a place to worship, a good Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church. It's a beautiful day. Come on and get ready, and let's go to the house of God together. I'm going to be reading this morning in the book of Judges, chapter 16. If you want to turn there with me, follow along, Judges, chapter 16. I've got quite a bit of reading to do, so just please bear with me and follow along if you can. We're going to talk about Samson for a little while this morning, and I've preached on Samson countless times, but the message this morning is something that I've not brought out in this particular fashion before, so I hope that this is a blessing to you today. Judges chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. We're going to read through to verse 21. I'll read quickly. It says here, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." Red flag number 1. Now, verse number 2. "And it was told to the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Verse number 4 is where a lot of Samson's problems started. "And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." I'm going to read on a little bit, but I'm just going to stop here for a moment and comment in case I forget what I wanted to say after I'm done reading. We see in verse number four, Samson's heart was involved with Delilah. Samson's heart became involved with the problem. Verse number five then tells us what the enemy's plan was for Samson, because they recognized that his affection was set on Delilah. "And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, Entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth." Find out what his weakness is, in other words. "And by what means may we prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then I shall be weak, and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up unto her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. She said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake with the withs, and a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be found." Again, trying to find out what his weakness is. "And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. Delilah said unto Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web." And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awake out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, "How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all of his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has shown me all of his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Now, I know there's a lot of verses there. We read 21 verses of scripture, but we had to get all of the text in so you could see the picture of what's going on in Samson's life at this time. Samson, we know, was a Nazarite. We know that Samson, from the story, of course, and from Samson's history, that Samson was not to shave his head. He was not to let a razor touch him. Because he obeyed this, God gave him great strength. He had great power. We know of all the feats of Samson, all the things that he'd done. I don't have to give you a history lesson, but Samson had great power. The Philistines hated him. He slew a lot of their men. He killed a lot of Philistines in his life. And so Samson was the enemy of the Philistines. And so we find here, number one, Samson, this chapter starts off telling us what Samson's problem is. Verse 1 in chapter 16 says, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her." It starts a whole chapter off telling us Samson's got a problem with lust. And so we move into this chapter here in verse number 3, "And Samson lay till midnight," verse number 4, "and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah." Samson's heart is all over the place. His emotions are all over the place. Even with the strength that he was given, the abilities that he had, that heart was just up and down, all over the place. Samson had a problem. His weakness was fixing to be discovered. His weakness. But I want to tell you this morning, Samson's weakness was not his hair being cut off. That was part of the vow. That was part of God's the ability, the strength God gave him. That was part of his vow to God. But his weakness lied in his inability to overcome temptation, his inability to overcome distraction. So many times today, we find ourselves under attack from the enemy in all different kinds of ways, friends. If you serve God this morning, you have at some point encountered temptations, mental battles, and struggles. The enemy trying to lure you in one way or the other. You have experienced him trying to rob, steal, and destroy your very soul. It's his job. The Bible tells us that as a roaring lion, he roams about seeking whom he may devour. It's his job. He's out to kill us today, and he's going to use whatever means necessary to do so. Now here the Philistines learn of Samson's love, his attraction to Delilah. So they go to her and they give Delilah an assignment. Let me tell you something this morning. You may not realize this, but the things that distract us, the things that take us away from the will of God for our lives, they are not coincidence. They are on assignment from hell this morning. The devil wants to make you lose track of what God has for you. He wants to make you lose track of the will of God for your life. He wants to make you give up your abilities and your talents. He wants to cause you to have to be disqualified. He wants to cause you to quit and to give up and to be overcome with temptation. But I want to tell you this morning that you do not have to allow the assignment of the enemy to come to fruition today. You can recognize his attacks. You can recognize what he's trying to do to your life, and you can put a stop to it. I think about mighty Samson and all of his great strength, yet for all of his physical strength, he had no ability to ward off the advances of Delilah. She had some type of power over him. She had some type of a wooing over him that he could not say no to. Over and over again, as you read this story, you'll find three different times where Delilah had Samson lay his head in her lap, or she lulled him to sleep, or she sweet-talked him, and she asked him to tell her his weaknesses. Isn't it like the devil to come right out and be so bold as to say, go ahead on and just tell me what makes you weak? Friends, he wants to know. He wants to know exactly what your demise will be. He wants to know how can he plan your downfall. He's watching you today, and he is taking notes on what it is that controls us. He's taking notes of what has our heart, where our affections are, and he is a mastermind of attacks. He's a mastermind of plotting and planning our demise. But I want to tell you this morning, we can foil the plans of the enemy before they ever come to fruition. We can counteract his advances before they ever take place, and we can simply do that by putting our heart and our affection in the right place today. Samson's problem with this, his problem with women, his problem with having his heart entangled in these affairs, the Bible tells us that we can't war as others do, and well, a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we can't be entangled with the wars of this world. We can't be entangled with the snares that so many people are caught up in. We've got to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. We can't be entangled in things like this. But Samson was already bound up and entangled in this woman called Delilah. And several times now she's asked him, reveal your weakness to me. Why do you think it was important to her? Why would Samson think it was important for her to know his weakness, how she could overcome him? Why would it be important? You know, I like for my wife to know my strengths. I like for her to know what I'm good at. I like for her to know what I advance at, how I excel at different things. I like her to know that. It makes me proud to know she's proud of me. I like her to understand that this is my strong points, and this is what I'm good at. There's not very many, but I like her to know whenever I achieve something. I don't like to go around telling people what my weaknesses are. I don't like to tell her, well, I ain't no good at this, or well, I ain't no good at that. You could have had somebody better in this area. You could have had somebody. I tell you one thing, you know, it's kind of comical. I got an older brother that can build anything. I mean, anything he puts his hands on, if he can picture it in his mind, he can build it. And if it's not something to be built, he can draw it. He can paint it. He can create it. His wife and him do all kinds of things, and they make all kinds of custom furniture and all that. He can do anything he sets his mind to. I can't build nothing to save my life. I can't make things like that. I wish I could. I've watched some do-it-yourself videos, and I've built a couple little things in my life. life, but I just don't have the gift that some people have. And so I focus on my strengths. I focus on what I can do. I focus on those things. I don't understand what in Samson's mind would lead him to not see that this was a trap. What was blinding him that he would not recognize that this woman of the Philistines was trying to trap him, trying to ensnare him. But friends, you ever heard the statement that love is blind? You ever heard that statement before? That is so true today, that what we set our affections on have a way of clouding our view, has a way of distracting us, where the enemy could walk in physical form and come right up to us and say, go ahead and tell me all your weaknesses so that I can overcome you. And we, just as a baby being lulled to sleep, we just offer up everything. We put on this demonstration every day our weaknesses and how he can get a foothold in our life by our loose living and by our prayerlessness. We allow the enemy to come in, and he has his way in our life, and many are being deceived, and many are being defeated, and many are backsliding out of the fold today because they let their weaknesses be known. Now, I don't believe that when people pray, my pastor said this just recently. I know people that'll say when you pray, you ought not pray out loud, or don't say anything out loud because you don't want the devil to hear you. I don't believe that. I believe that there's enough power in the Holy Ghost that he's going to fight for us. I believe I can pray, go to the throne of God boldly. I believe that if you pray in the Holy Ghost anyways, the devil don't know what you're saying. You can pray and intercede, and the Spirit of God will make intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. But I don't believe that we have to pray silently to be afraid of the devil. But I also believe that how I live my life and my devotion to God and my devotion to prayer and to Bible reading and my faithfulness to God, it puts on display that there are weaknesses in my life. It puts on display that there are places for the enemy to get a foothold in my life, and I cannot allow him to have access. I can't allow him to feel like he has any strength in my life. But friends, so often we lay our head right in his lap. We get distracted by the beauty of things. We get distracted by what our heart loves. Now, we've just read here in verse number 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. His heart was involved in this. Well, Brother David, how can this be a temptation when I love him? I can tell you something. It don't matter who you love. If it's not the will of God, it can be a distraction. It can be a temptation. It can be an assignment from the enemy to derail you. Don't put your confidence in your heart. Don't put your confidence in your own mind. You put your confidence in the Word of God. And if your life does not line up with this word, if your decisions do not line up with this word, if it's not according to God's will, if you have to sin to get it, if you have to sin to keep it, if you have to lie, steal or cheat to get it or keep it, it's not the will of God. It doesn't matter if your heart is involved. It doesn't matter if that relationship is not on the up and up, if it's not according to the word of God, if it's not outright righteous and holy and upright before God. God, you better run for your life this morning. I said you better run for your life. You better heed the warning of God today that Delilah is trying to lure and trying to tempt and trying to deceive, and the church is laying their head in her lap, and they're telling them all of their heart, go ahead on and tempt me in this area. This is my weakness. Go ahead and shave my hair off. Go ahead. And I know a couple of times I was reading here how the first three times that Samson gave her answers, he was just toying with her. He gave her answers that were not even the real weakness, the real way, the method of taking his strength. He was just toying with her. And so many times we do that. Well, I'm not going to give the devil my weakness. I'm not going to allow him to get in my heart. I'm not going to give him access to my life. But yet we play around with him so many times, friend. You can play with fire so many times, but eventually you're going to get burned. I said,
said eventually you're going to make a mistake and you're going to get burned. Well, this morning, Brother David came to tell you that just like Samson, after a while, it said that she pressed upon him daily, and his very soul was vexed unto the point to where he revealed everything to her, and it caused his demise, friend. It cost him his eyes. It caused him to be imprisoned, and he ground like an animal at the grind in the prison house. That's exactly where the devil wants you this morning. He wants to remove your vision. He wants to take away your ability to see. He wants to take away your strength in God. He wants to remove the power of the Holy Ghost out of your life. And he wants you in prison today and at his service. But you don't have to let him have his way in your life. You don't have to yield to him. You don't have to let that plan come to fruition, friend. You can come against him in the name of Jesus. You can come against his plans. You can come against his proposals. You can foil the plots of the enemy through the power of Jesus Christ today, but you're going to have to get your head in the game. You're going to have to get your heart out of the picture. You're going to have to start operating in the Spirit. They that walk in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Listen to me this morning. It's going to require the church to go back to being a spiritual group of people, a spiritual body. We follow our hearts into all things, but friends, the Bible tells me that I can't trust my heart. My heart will lead me into all kind of things I got no business dealing with. My heart will lead me into what feels good. It'll have me in all kind of wrong relationships. It'll have you married to the wrong people. It'll have you dating the wrong people. It'll have you so far out of the will of God that you can't find your way back. I want to tell you that the devil has set traps, and he's luring, and he's lulling us to sleep, but it's up to us to make our minds up. I'm not going to let him distract me. I'm not going to let him lie to me. I'm not going to let him vex me daily until I become so weak that I give in to his plans and let him take out the mighty warrior of God that I'm supposed to be and sideline me so the work of God does not go completed. I'm not going to let him do it, friend. I'm not going to let him do it today. You know, a lot of what comes up in our life, the problem that we see is not the problem. The underlying issue is that the enemy is going to vex us day and night until we give in under the pressure. You hear me? He's going to fight you every day. He's going to war against you every day. He's going to find every reason to give you to quit and to give up. He's going to put it out there on a platter in front of you and tell you how much easier that you had it when you were a sinner. But I want to tell you that the way of a transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. It's not easy to be a sinner. You've got no resources. You've got no power. You've got no hope, no prayer. Listen to me this morning. You're better off giving that devil an eviction notice. You're better off serving notice on him this morning. Devil, I put up with your junk too long. I've allowed you to distract me too long. I've been chasing butterflies, and I've been chasing the next best thing, and I've been chasing a career, and I've been chasing the next boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse. I've been chasing money. I've been chasing dreams and chasing this and ministry and chasing everything that don't mean a hill of beans in the long run. If my heart is not right, if my focus is not on Christ, let Christ become the center of your life. Let Jesus be the object of your affections. Let Jesus be the center of your being. When you wake up in the morning, feast on the Word of God. When you wake up in the morning, enter into the presence of God. Before you lay your head on your pillow at night, fellowshipping with him and worshiping him and loving on him so that Christ may be the centerpiece of everything. You can't go wrong when Jesus is in the center. You can't go wrong whenever your heart is set on things above. Let your affections be on things above, not on things of the earth. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can tell a lot about a person. Listen, I didn't plan to say this, but it's there, so I'm going to say it. You can tell a lot about a person about what they're faithful to. Somebody help me preach a minute. You can tell a lot about a person by what they're faithful to. They won't show up to the house of God, but let a Jaguars game happen downtown. Friends that can't buy enough season passes. Folks who go to selling things to be able to afford their hobbies. They'll go to hawking things at the pawn shop to be able to pay for their entertainment. They'll be faithful to what they want to be faithful to. We have been distracted by the lies of Satan that would tell us that what our heart wants is what's best for us. But you can't be governed by your heart this morning. You can't be governed by your feelings. You've got to be governed by the Word of God. Well, it don't feel good. It's not always going to feel good. Well, I don't like the way it says that. You're not always going to like the way the Bible says things, but I can promise you this. If you'll put your confidence in this Word of God, if you'll follow these instructions, if you'll live this Word of God to the best of your ability, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Ghost is going to raise up a standard against him. You're not going to be left weakened and blind and in prison. You're going to be filled with power. You're going to have authority in the name of Jesus to send the devil to flight this morning. Where is your heart today? Have you been distracted by the lies of the enemy, or are you really, really in love with Jesus? I want to ask you today, have you allowed the enemy to distract you to the point? What are you chasing after? You know, I know too many people right now on this Sunday morning that are so involved with their career, so involved with the things they love, with their hobbies, with their family, so involved with their finances, so involved with chasing pleasure, so involved with pleasing their own flesh, with the next best thing, so involved with finding a spouse, so involved with whatever is on their mind at the moment, they have totally lost sight of the will of God. They've totally lost sight of the beauty of His holiness. They've totally lost sight of the main thing. Friends, we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. I know Delilah has some enticing words. I know that it feels so good to let her rock you to sleep. I know that it's so comforting to a lonely heart to let Delilah be your companion. But friends, Delilah is on an assignment from hell today. Her purpose in your life is not to be your companion. Her purpose in your life is to disarm you. Her purpose is to make you powerless. Her purpose is to shame you and to cause you to be in prison today. You better listen to Brother David this morning when I tell you that the things that we chase and the affections that we place on things and how we prioritize our life, we are allowing Delilah to lure us. Allowing her. She's been given an assignment from the enemy. And we lay in her lap and we make fun and we play games. Well, this is how you braid my hair. Tie me up with these certain types of bonds. Do this or do that. You know, that could have went on and on. But this morning, I want to tell you Delilah is on an assignment. She's not here to be your friend. Delilah's not here to be your companion. Delilah doesn't love you. Delilah is on an assignment. And too many times we lay our head in her lap and we allow her. We allow the game to go on over and over again. Tell me your weakness. Confide in me. Give me your heart. Samson's heart was latched on to her. The Bible said in verse 4 that he loved Delilah. I want to tell you this morning, you can love things that you got no business having in your life. They're on an assignment. Some of our friendships, we have no business entertaining. They're on an assignment. This morning, I want to tell you, if you're serving Jesus, the enemy has an assignment, and every devil in hell is going to try to carry it out until he has you blind and in prison. But you don't have to allow it today. I'm out of time. I want to leave this with you today. Let's set our affections on Christ. Let's get back to making Jesus the center point. Every time we chase hobbies or dreams or careers, let's let everything focus on Christ and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and let him add everything that he wants in our life. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you next Sunday morning again, 8:30. Tell somebody about the program. Like and share the videos. BrotherDavidOnTheAir@gmail.com. I love you.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.